And I work just a couple blocks away. I'm here not in that role today, but as a board member for the Street Trust. I just joined the board because of the importance of biking, transit, and walking. I moved to Portland 16 years ago. The reputation of Portland as a place that I could enjoy without relying on a car, as I absolutely had to do in my home state of Montana, was a really big reason why. Today, I'm a homeowner. I am still a car owner, although it doesn't get very many miles on it. And I choose to live in inner North Portland for the ability to walk, bike, and bus to my office here, to my church, to most of my shopping, and for entertainment. I stopped driving for my work commute 6 years ago because of the increase in traffic. And frankly, it was just causing me to come home really angry and really upset. So I began taking transit at first, Line 44. I have slowly added more bike commuting, and now I have a two-year-old. So as a household with two working parents, getting our son to and from daycare is really important every day. It's important to do it safely, but it's also really important to do it predictably and on time so that our careers don't get dinged by that. So we and a lot of people at our daycare and also in my office rely on safely biking in and around the central city to be efficient as families, as employees, and to know we're making a pro-environment choice. So biking's become the best commute option now due to traffic impacting transit for me, and we do it no matter the weather. Transit's my second choice, and I will say my car is a distant third. So I just am urging your support of Central City in Motion to make biking to daycare and to school and to work available to more Portlanders. I think more people of my gender and age and demographic will make this choice when they can be safe and efficient. I loaned my bicycle to a colleague this summer while I was on a trip, and she rode it for 3 days but was too scared to take up commuting. She has a 7-year-old, and to get to school and to activities and to office, it just didn't feel safe for her. Frequently, I'm told by other mothers at my daycare, I would never bike with my 2-year-old. It's too dangerous. And I don't want this to be a brave choice. I don't like being one of the very few women in my office who bike. So I urge you to vote to adopt this, which will make improvements today for people who really are ready to bike and walk and take transit more frequently. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next up, Serenity Ebert, from a downtown resident, Phil Richman from the Street Trust Board, and Karen Lichtig from Nosa Familia Coffee. Well, I guess they're not with us, so.
Well, Joanne, do you want to fill in for the Street Trust Board member?
I did sign up.
Welcome.
Joanne, go ahead.
Excuse me.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. They're in the other room.
I forgot overflow. We have a little overflow. Sorry about that.
Okay, what? Would you go ahead?
Hi, my name is Serenity Ebert. I've lived downtown for 10 years. I'm here today to urge you to approve PVOT's Central City in Motion Plan and to make Better NATO permanent. I feel that the Central City in Motion Plan would make travel safe and more efficient for everyone. I depend on public transit to navigate the city. I use a walker or a trike to get around. I feel like "or" is an important distinction because whichever one I'm using, I don't have the benefit of the other. That means that I ride all year round, not just during the summer. Central City in Motion would make it much safer and more comfortable for me and everyone else to get around downtown. Sorry. I believe that everyone deserves to safely move around. I have gotten much more comfortable cycling through downtown than I used to be, but I think many more people would bike and take transit if they felt safe. I love having the protected bike lane on Bedernado because it is the flattest and most direct route to the steel bridge. I don't have to dodge the strollers and slow-moving pedestrians that are on the waterfront path. As it is now, the unprotected bike lane on NATO is ridiculously skinny and not wide enough for a trike. I very much enjoy being protected from the fast-moving traffic on NATO. This should be a city where people of all ages and abilities feel like they can safely and comfortably move through downtown. We need the projects recommended in Central City in Motion Plan.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Karen Lichtig. I'm here representing Nosa Familia Coffee. We're a locally owned coffee roasting business, and we also have four physical locations here in Portland, including a roastery in Northwest Industrial, a coffee shop in the Pearl District, and two East Side coffee shops. Two of those cafes are in the Central City in Motion region. And we're a small business that encourages our employees and our customers to use alternative forms of transportation besides single passenger vehicles to get to work and to visit our coffee shops. We just think it's better for the climate, it's better for people's health, and it's better for creating a more livable community. So with our locations in the central city districts, in particular, we run against a lot of issues around accessibility and getting to us. We get a lot of complaints sometimes about, oh, I tried to visit and I couldn't find parking. But we respond with, why don't you try a biking or walking or taking transit? We're also a member of the Central Eastside Industrial Council, but unlike the official statement from the CEIC, which is expressed some opposition to the plans that would remove some parking, we actually, you know, are in agreement that more people can get to our business when we actually give preference to modes that can transport more people in less space, so buses and more bike parking. So we're in favor of ideas that can help more people access our businesses. We think that the Central City in Motion plan is great for making it easier, safer, and ultimately more enjoyable to get to our businesses. I visited our Central East Side location this morning, actually around 7 a.m., and the streets were lined with cars, which were clearly of people working in the building who were probably going to look at the two-hour parking, which is not metered, and move their car around to try to avoid getting a ticket. I think that some of the projects would really benefit our small businesses and getting more people to visit us, we really look forward to some of the projects for that. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Phil Richman. I'm here on behalf of the Street Trust. I appreciate you listening to the testimony. I actually called Jillian about an hour ago, kind of fretting over a letter that I'd written for this testimony, and decided that I'll just get up here and be myself. And so At any rate, I think everyone here has kind of stated what needs to be stated. Commissioner Udaly, I appreciate the fact that you're taking the traffic and transportation class, as I did a few years ago. I think it is a true education on how mobility has worked in the past. And, of course, none of us could have anticipated we'd be seeing scooters all over. If you look at news around the globe, they're not showing any signs of going away. And we need to accommodate more and more people in smaller and smaller spaces. Anecdotally, I work downtown. I actually overlook Pioneer Square, so I get to see the human activity that takes place every day around the square. It's a hub of people who are coming from all over the world in many cases, and when they come to Portland, that's what they experience is the activity around there. So what's happening is, a lot of things. You have MAX, bus, light rail, bike town stations, scooters. I commute every day from Southwest Portland by bike, but this morning I drove my daughter from Southwest Portland to downtown because she's too afraid to cross the street. She's been stuck in traffic for hours trying to take the bus to and from school, and it's increasingly unreliable. So I like to think that she and her peers and future generations will have more options. I'm lucky in that I'm privileged and able to ride a bicycle, but feel very sad for our community when I ride on Broadway and either in a hotel door zone or potentially getting right hooked on Jefferson. And I know that I wouldn't expect any of you to do that. But I know that were the road simply designed in a different way, maybe all of you could. Or maybe my daughter or friends could. And similar thing on 4th. 4th has two rows of parking and three lanes of traffic. I find riding in the middle of the roadway to be the safest option, and that's ridiculous. We need to accommodate more and more people in smaller and smaller spaces, and that's why I urge you to pass the plan and why the Street Trust urges you to pass the plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, our next panel is Addie from Business for Better Portland, Rithi Koot, sorry if there's no pronunciation key here, from the Bicycle Advisory Committee Chair, and Ryan Hashhagen from Better Block PDX. And I'm looking forward to learning how to pronounce all of your names.
That's great.
Thank you, Council. My name is Adie Leverett. Thank you. I'm here on behalf of Business for Better Portland. I work for a member company, and as a volunteer, I've been leading our review of this project as well as our efforts to promote better communication between PBOT and our members. BBPDX believes that the economic opportunities that are made possible by Portland's growth should be accessible to all, and one of the ways for this to happen is to make sure that the transportation system of the central city is safe, modern, and efficient. Cities across the continent, as Gabe mentioned, Seattle, Denver, Austin, Calgary, Toronto, all these places are moving quickly to improve their transportation infrastructure. In order to retain Portland's reputation as a center for creativity and innovation, we would be wise to follow suit. BBPDX is strongly supportive of the goals of this project. Our members recognize the close connection between well-designed infrastructure and economic vibrance. Furthermore, we recognize the terrible social and economic costs that will be incurred if Portland fails to meet its climate goals, which are greatly undermined by our over-reliance on single-occupancy vehicles. For these reasons, we must deliver a comprehensive multimodal transportation network, both in our central city and in underserved parts of Portland that BBPDX has advocated for in the past. BBPDX believes that a successful central city in motion will help our businesses thrive. Our members, who will be impacted in various and significant ways when the streets are reconfigured, are paying very close attention. PBOT's efforts to engage the community on this project are moving in the right direction, and we are committed to continuing to work with them to ensure that a truly constructive, collaborative relationship is established with business leaders. One thing the current implementation plan fails to adequately address is how success will be defined. As this project moves from concept to design, it's absolutely critical that PBOT establish clear and robust performance metrics to establish a baseline for how streets are performing now and to assess the effectiveness of these new designs. We realize that full performance benefits may not be realized until the entire network is built, but there has to be a more objective way to define success and assess trade-offs. Because people have a basic and understandable fear of change. Traffic modeling, data collection, and studying best practices from other cities are ways to diffuse the tensions that arise from that fear and help make the conversation less about what is unknown and more about the great things that are possible.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Ritik Kut. I'm the chair of the Portland Bicycle Advisory Committee. Thank you, Council, for the opportunity to testify on behalf of the Bicycle Advisory Committee. The committee has submitted written testimony, and I'll touch on some of the points in my testimony. I'll also include some personal anecdotes as well. Our committee is highly supportive of the Central City in Motion plan and strongly urge you to adopt it as it is presented to council. Additionally, we would suggest and encourage you to fully implement all 18 projects, not in 10 years, but within the first 1 to 5 year phase. One of the reasons I was asked to be a member of the Portland Bicycle Advisory Committee is because I was born in Portland. I'm a second-generation Portlander. My parents immigrated from Cambodia searching for the American dream, which included doing well in school, buying a good car, and buying a good home. So when I bought a bicycle in high school, I wanted to bike from my parents' house at 60th and Lincoln to Northwest 23rd. This was about 2003. Coffee time was still 24 hours, and Escape from New York Pizza had the best pizza in town. Or I also wanted to go to the Central Library. My mom was horrified. She told me, it's too dangerous. It's not safe. And for the most part at that age, I didn't feel safe because there wasn't a bicycle network. Lincoln and Ladd were great, but when I got to downtown, I had to hopscotch between the waterfront, the sidewalk, I'm sorry, Commissioner Fritz, and riding in traffic. This plan, if implemented, is what I would have wanted traveling downtown. It builds a safe, accessible transportation network that will encourage thousands of Portlanders, just like my teenage self, to bicycle. Afterwards, I went away to college in Eugene and became a land use planner. Community, collaboration, numbers, and data, they speak to me. The committee and I would like to thank staff for all their work and countless hours of reaching out to the community and stakeholders. Statewide planning goal 1 is public involvement. They did a great job. That's why you have so many letters and testimony in support of this plan as it's presented to council. From interest groups like the Street Trust, Oregon Environmental Council, and Business to Better Portland, to neighborhood coalitions like Southeast Uplift and the Neighborhood Coalition for Northeast Portland. This is Portland. Collaboration, coalitions, and consensus. Looking at the numbers, with the estimated doubling of households and 25% more people working in the central city by 2035, we have to figure out how to accommodate all that growth. Seattle has shown us it can be done without an increase in single occupancy vehicle trips. Even today, as shown in the Downtown Portland Business Census and Survey, compared to last year, more people are choosing to bicycle. While at the same time, fewer people are choosing to drive into the central city. This will only increase as new housing opportunities open within the Central East Side and the inner Portland neighborhoods. I leave you with this. As I think about my future kids and when they become teenagers, will they feel safe cycling downtown? Will I be like my mother and worry about their safety? As they become adults, will they want to live in a central city that it is safe for them? Ultimately, by building this network now, you'll build a network for future children of Portland. Thank you for your time, and the Bicycle Advisory Committee looks forward to continuing to work on meeting and making Portland a safe place to cycle and an everyday part of people's lives.
Hello, commissioners. Thank you for your time. My name is Ryan Hashigan, and I'm on the leadership committee of Better Block PDX. Also, personally, I run a manufacturing business with locations in Old Town and the Central East Side, with each of those locations on one of the projects of the Central City in Motion. Central City in Motion project recognizes that Portland has an urgent need to update and optimize the use of one of our most valuable resources, the public right-of-way. Embedded in the projects of the CCIM is a commitment to creating a safer, more equitable, and more efficient transportation network for all people. We at Better Block PDX strongly support this commitment, but feel the vision of the CCIM, faster and more reliable transit, and a safer network of places for people to stroll and roll, is needed immediately. Better Block PDX believes that PBOT should move to immediately implement a cohesive network of quick-build interim projects within the first 2 years of adopting the CCIM as a proof of concept. A growing number of examples from across the nation and around the globe are proving that the best way to achieve a bold transportation vision quickly and with vibrant public support is to build a connected, low-cost, and flexible projects that achieve immediate, quantifiable, and measurable results. With this approach, project designs have much more flexibility to be adjusted according to feedback and also help better inform future design details and implementation. This eliminates the scenario where big investments lock us into designs that don't work as theorized. We ask for you to approve the Central City in Motion project and to create an interim and immediate network implementation plan that includes a robust performance evaluation framework. These metrics of success will allow further decisions to be data-driven and show a return on our civic investment. Implementing these projects as a network will provide a benefit far greater than the individual projects in isolation, and Portland has the opportunity to be a global example by continuing to innovate in project vision, design, and delivery. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Next up, we have Tara Mather from OHSU, Clint Culpepper from PSU and Sounding Board, and Kevin Neely from PSU.
Thank you, commissioners. My name is Tara Mather. I'm a campus planner at OHSU, and I've had the privilege of serving on the Central City in Motion Sounding Board.
Could you move a little closer to the mic?
Yes, yes.
We'll move the mic closer.
Yeah, I'll move the mic closer to you.
Not too close, though.
How's this? So I've had the privilege of serving on the Central City in Motion Sounding Board to provide input at various stages of the planning process, and I believe that the project team's recommendations respond to the growing need for safe and efficient transportation options, and OHSU is encouraged by efforts like this one. As an academic health center, patient care, research, and education are at the core of our mission. OHSU has 16,000 employees, thousands of students, and sees 3,000 patients per day, serving more Medicaid patients than any other hospital in the state. People traveling to our campuses come from all over the city, often traveling through the Central City. And OHSU has implemented various programs and policies designed to get people out of their cars and choose other modes of transportation, including incentivizing daily walking and biking trips and heavily subsidizing annual transit passes. So we are very excited about these transportation improvements and look forward to the positive impact that it'll have on the OHSU community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Commission. Kevin Neely, the Associate Vice President for Government Relations at Portland State University. Thank you for having us today. We, too, are here to cheer you on, and unlike those in front of me, we actually have cheerleaders. But we left them on campus today. So we really appreciate your consideration of the Central City in Motion proposal. Portland State University strongly endorses it. I'm here on behalf of the President, and I had to bring my wingman with me today to help if there's any questions. But frankly, I'm not here on behalf of the president. I'm here on behalf of 27,000 students that come onto our campus every day. I'm here on behalf of 7,500 employees that come on our campus every day. We're 50 acres in the downtown Portland core, and this project is vital to Portland State University. Most of those students, as you know, we only have housing for 2,000 students on our campus. So frankly, they are coming onto campus every day from outside generally the Central City core. So every aspect of this plan is important to us. Clint will talk about the work that we're doing to try to make sure that those folks are using multimodal transportation when they get here. I think we have a really great story to tell that will be substantially enhanced by the plan you have in front of you today. I want to close by just talking also about the impact beyond the actual core of PSU that we have. I'm relatively new to Portland State, and I'm always surprised by the impact we have both on the downtown core and beyond the downtown core. 175,000 alumni and our alumni from Portland State University, and 110,000 of those alumni are working and living right here in the Portland metro area. So this doesn't just impact our campus community, it impacts our larger campus community. For Portland citizens in the region in general, PSU is a pathway to prosperity, but that's a figurative pathway. We actually need a literal pathway to get that prosperity moving forward. And this is a wonderful project to help on that front. And with that, I'll let Clint actually talk about the details in the plan that are most important to Portland State University. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you for having us here today to hear our concerns and our support. The majority of trips to Portland State are made by alternative modes of transportation. And I'll use air quotes there because for many of us, it's not an alternative transportation. It's our primary form of transportation. Less than 25% of our student trips are by car, and over half are by transit, by far the most popular way to get to PSU. There's still room for improvement, as students' employees report that better facilities and shorter travel times would encourage them to take transit more often. The priority given to transit in these projects will have a significant impact to the reliability of our transit network and will have immediate benefits for PSU's transit users. PSU has been a leader in the promotion of bicycling, piloting the city's first protected bike lane on Southwest Broadway in 2009. We've learned a great deal from this collaboration with the Bureau of Transportation, notably that physical barriers are needed for bike lanes in high traffic areas. We feel that an improved permanent facility is long overdue, as our recent reduction in students riding to campus is partially driven by an increase in traffic and the lower levels of comfort and safety that bicycle riders feel in the central city. With this said, the 4th Avenue and Broadway project is extremely important to Portland State as we advocate for the safety of our students and employees. We've been advocating for these safety improvements for many years, and we feel that this project cannot move forward without them. For an urban campus, improvements to pedestrian safety aren't just about commuting, but about getting to class, the library, and services on campus. These projects would bring significant safety improvements to the crossings of major streets passing through our campus, and improvements near some of the busiest transit stations in the city. For our students, their safety is our number one priority. These projects represent the culmination of a decade of effort to improve conditions for our students and employees as they travel to campus. Improving the travel options that we provide for them is a cornerstone of the university's climate action plan, and these projects will help us to expand those options. Please move forward with these projects, and we strongly recommend moving all projects into the 1 to 5 year timeline. Thank you for your time today, and thank you for all of the work that has been done on this plan by the PBOT staff.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
All right, we have our final panel now, and could have David Bouchard from Bus Lane Project, Gary Cobb from Central City Concern, and Katie Gold from Bike Loud PDX. Either of you can begin, and perhaps...
Okay. I think the rule is who sat down first.
All right. My name is Katie Gould. I am one of the co-chairs of Bike Loud PDX. Thank you, commissioners, for being here. I'm going to read some of our excerpts of our testimony that we submitted yesterday. We strongly support the Central City in Motion plan, and we urge Council to adopt it. For too many years, Portlanders have seen cities around them initiate bold plans for improving walking, biking, and public transit while we rest on our accomplishments from previous decades. Our bicycle mode share is stuck at 6%, the same as 2011, and our transit ridership continues to fall. Our policies and plans are still visionary, but we have not matched our words with action. And now we have a chance to change that. The CCIM plan alone will not solve all these issues, but it's a strong step forward to being the city that we want to live in, one that acts decisively in the face of climate change, that has clean air and safe streets in every neighborhood, and that moves people efficiently to, from, and around the central city. PBOT's estimates show that with this plan, the number of people walking, biking, or taking transit in the central city will increase from 40% today to 60% by 2035, which would make substantial progress towards our 85% goal set in the 2035 transportation system plan. The world of transportation is changing really quickly. The e-scooter pilot has led to 640,000 trips in the last 4 months. When Biketown became dockless and free in May 2018, just earlier this year, riders traveled 162,000 miles, more than doubling usage from May the year before. The pent-up demand for safe and efficient transportation alternatives mean that bold actions by the city can lead to meaningful and immediate results. Making better roadways for these devices and the ones that are coming in the future is of the utmost urgency. We support the recommendation by the Bicycle Advisory Committee to implement these projects within 5 years. And during that implementation phase, we feel like the best approach is to put these designs in the street as quickly as possible with temporary measures so that both residents and businesses can experience the benefits of these places. We would challenge PBOT to a one-year timeline. With that sort of an implementation strategy, not only would the network be usable very soon, but we'll be able to make adjustments and trial these designs in real time. We agree that the details really matter, and we look forward to working with the excellent staff at PBOT on getting the details right for every one of these projects. You have the opportunity today to show your unanimous support for Portland values. Today, we can begin a new era of Portland leadership in green and efficient transportation.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is David Bouchard, and I am testifying on behalf of the Portland Bus Lane Project. I am a bus rider myself, and I live in Old Town, so I have the privilege of taking the any number of bus lines from my apartment, really just about anywhere in the city, in the region, from that point. And I can speak from personal experience on the issues that our buses are facing as they are attempting to get into and out of our downtown, which is really on all sides pretty much surrounded by various choke points. You've got bridges, you've got, you know, the hills, you've got the rail yards and the major institutions to our south that basically kind of define the ingress and egress into this part of the city. So it's very important that the buses, which are the most space efficient vehicles for carrying people long distances, are able to get into and out of this part of the city. So I really want to thank you guys for supporting the enhanced transit corridor proposals so far, and on Madison and Burnside, Grand. I really do appreciate we really appreciate the support there, and are looking forward to future support of any projects that are going to increase bus lane access. And also, we are really excited about the potential bus lanes. The bus lane on Burnside would be a huge benefit to bus commuters coming, you know, in downtown. The 12, 19, and 20 connect downtown to the Inner East Side before they fan out to go east and northeast throughout the city. So Burnside is a really, really important place to have a dedicated bus lane so that those folks can get out of downtown with a very high frequency of service. Also, I use the Steel Bridge quite a lot for bus service. It would be great to be able to approach that bridge faster from downtown, from Fifth Avenue especially. We really need to have that priority there so that our, you know, the buses aren't getting stuck as they approach the bridge. Once they're out of downtown, they, for the most part, they move pretty well. So it's creating those bus lanes in downtown is going to make a huge amount of difference for the rest of the region, as it was mentioned earlier. And you know, so there's not a whole lot of miles that need to be striped, but it's going to make a huge difference. The other thing that we are concerned about is the emphasis. There's still a lot of emphasis on parking. We understand that there are a lot of needs that which need to be met. Deliveries, you know, access, you know, special access to buildings that aren't always feasible by walking and transit. I understand that. But we really need to cut down aggressively on the amount of street parking that we have, because our curbs are some of our most valuable street space in the century, with bike lanes and bus lanes and, you know, potential ride share, you know, zones. We really need to be very conscious and intentional on how we're managing the curbs so that we're moving the maximum amount of people possible through our streets. And let's just remember that it's about moving people over all else. And the hierarchy, you know, we have a Vision Zero hierarchy, you know, pedestrians and, you know, cyclists and transit users, they all come at the top, above anyone who is driving a 2-ton piece of metal. Thank you again for your support, especially thank you, Commissioner Udaly, for your strong language around this, and we look forward to future bus lane improvements so that transit is the mode of choice for the entire region.
Thank you. Gary.
Good afternoon, council members. My name is Gary Cobb. I'm the community outreach coordinator at Central City Concern. I should probably start by saying that I haven't heard any feedback from our legal team about the use of our first and middle name on this project. So I'd say that in jest, but thank you for reaching out to us. I'd say that also because when this project was presented to have us participate, I had to kind of do some extra explaining to some of our residents that wanted to participate in the focus groups about that, you know, this isn't really a Central City Concern project, but it's part of the city. So now that I got that out there to make sure everybody's on board with language, where we're at, we're excited that we were asked to participate. We had two focus groups with Gabe and his team, and I think the one thing that we're excited about is the conversation we had around the safety around Burnside, West Burnside. So we had two focus groups at our downtown clinic with about 40 people over the course of these two meetings. And what came out of that was pretty clear that these are folks that are using Burnside with mobility devices, going to and from our clinic. They're walking. Very few had bicycles, and pretty much no one drove. So what is important about this process was that Gabe and his team reached out to us, which said that they want to hear feedback from folks that are generally marginalized out of these conversations. And so the process in this is really important to us at Central City Concern, and it should be a value throughout any projects that we have in the city involving folks that are basically living at the poverty level who are using our streets on a constant basis to get to and from the grocery store, to 12-step meetings, to wherever they may be going. So we had some pretty, I would say, enlightening and enriching discussions that shed light on this. And what was really cool is that feedback came back that was given in the first meeting, back in the second meeting, that those folks were heard. So these processes are important. You know, of course, the projects are super important. That's what we're here to recommend that you support. But as we go through this, we still always got to think about how we're getting this information and think about our citizens that are at vulnerable conditions with their health care. And which I want to bring up another point. That it came up in our discussions that what about first responders? How do we make space for them to get to key areas in the city? And I haven't heard that mentioned today, but it came up in our meetings with our residents and folks that use our Old Town Clinic at the two focus groups. So I felt really encouraged as the outreach coordinator that our residents and clients of our clinic sat down with Gabe and his team and provided some pretty important information. And so we encourage the council to certainly move forward on adopting this, these projects, particularly we have an interest in the Burnside downtown where these meetings were held. Just as a reminder, that downtown clinic has it's a primary care home for 6,000 patients. And then in and around that four-block area, we have about 600 residents, and not to mention several hundred employees. So that particular area of Burnside is pretty important to us for safety and maneuverability. Also, I'd like to take the moment to think about the future here, and we asked the council, PBOT, and CCIM to think about the east side. At 122nd and Burnside, we'll be opening up another primary care clinic that will be home to about 3,000 patients. We'll have 175 units of housing there, and then right down the street around the corner at 126th and Stark, we'll have another 150 some units of housing there. So as we kind of move through thinking about livability and moving around, let's don't forget about our citizens that are living at the poverty level, and we'll be using the streets mainly walking around. So thank you for letting us testify today. Okay.
Thank you. Yep. It's good news about Central City Concern and their plans.
Thank you.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
So that completes the invited?
Yes, okay. It does.
So now we'll move to public testimony, and as is our custom, we will ask for people with disabilities or people with young children present to come up first. I thought I heard a young child somewhere in the audience. There she is. Okay.
Let me go ahead and take the first. The next two off the list.
Yeah, why don't you call the next two off the list.
Pia Welch and Terry Parker, and they'll be followed by Ted Bueller, Tim Davis, and Doug Klotz.
And if you will just give us your name, and you each have 2 minutes, and there's a clock on the table in front of you. So why don't we start with you, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Claire Vlach, and this is Chloe. And I'm here to testify on behalf of Oregon Walks, which is Oregon's pedestrian advocacy organization. Oregon Walks supports Central City in Motion, and we urge City Council to approve the plan as a whole. Cutting out projects to preserve car lanes or parking will hurt people who cannot afford to own a car and people using more environmentally friendly forms of transportation. We specifically want to call out support for Project 17, Year-Round Better NATO, which will provide separate and thus safer facilities for pedestrians and bicycles. In terms of the parking strategies, we support enhanced transportation demand management and strategies for more efficient use of existing parking spaces, but we are opposed to using public funds to create new parking. Walking is the number one form of transportation used in the central city. Therefore, walking should feel both safe and comfortable. As the projects and the plan are developed, we urge the city to consider that sidewalks should include shade trees and pedestrian-oriented streetlights. Intersections should include marked crosswalks on all four sides. And conflict should be minimized between pedestrians accessing transit and bike lanes. This is especially important for pedestrians with hearing and mobility impediments. And we're thinking here especially about the design that was submitted for the division bus lane, the division of bus shelters. Central City in Motion will improve conditions for people walking, biking, and taking transit, and will reduce reliance on private cars. This is an important goal given the realities of global climate change, as well as the need to move increasing numbers of people in Portland. Please approve this project.
Thank you for persevering.
The future children that somebody mentioned.
How old is she?
She's just about 3 months.
Thank you for coming today.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. My name is Pia Welch. I'm the chair of the Portland Freight Committee. We recognize that one of the goals of the CCIM plan is to encourage increased bicycle and transit use to reduce pressure on the existing transportation system, especially in the Central East Side Industrial District. It serves as its historical role as a key wholesale and central distribution center for freight movement and delivery services for central city businesses. As such, we feel the need to ask how the projects being proposed in the CCIM plan will enhance the nature of this industrial area and the businesses that it serves, and offer the following comments. We have been persistently requesting that 7th Avenue be taken off the list for a bike path and put it onto 6th Avenue as for safety concerns, and also because we have been notified that the Green Loop will be on 6th Avenue, so it seems as though for a long-term logical strategy to designate 6th Avenue as a preferred bicycle route would eliminate the need to use 7th Avenue that is actually a freight route. While a freight compatibility analysis was prepared for this area, it was very general in nature and did not delve into the specifics, such as whether certain size trucks would be impeded from turning onto streets that currently allow access. If trucks are unable to make turns, especially in the CIID area, then neither can buses or emergency vehicles, which can create potential safety issues as more high-density buildings are constructed. This area is difficult to move around now, and yet there is not much information on what to do with the future, let alone the current bottleneck areas, particularly Northeast 11th and 12th Avenue. Moreover, we continue to ask for a more in-depth analysis of the truck traffic in this area.
Thank you.
Terry Parker. Hold on a second. I just want to respond to Ms. Welch. I hear you, and I agree with you on many of these issues, and I want to assure you that we're going to be continuing communicating with Portland Freight Committee and the Central East Side Industrial Council, who has similar concerns, if not the exact same set of concerns. It's a really unique area of the city. It is a former industrial sanctuary, but with more and more residential units, retail businesses, restaurants. So I agree, it's complicated. It comes with some unique challenges. And as I said at the outset, we're narrowing the projects, but there's still a lot of refinement to do on each individual project, and we will definitely be engaging further on it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, Commissioner, just to clarify, does that mean that the bikeway could move from 7th to 6th, for example?
I'm not prepared to respond to the individual requests, just that this is an ongoing conversation that does warrant more.
My understanding is that it's being looked at.
I'll stop at the end. That's fine. I just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Terry Parker, fourth generation Portlander on my dad's side. Per TriMet's latest survey, congestion is the number one transportation issue. Just 2% of the respondents wanted more bike lanes. Among other things, only 45% think Portland Metro region is going in the right direction, while 42% think the region is off track and people are losing faith in the region. So just how does taking away motor vehicle capacity to add bike lanes represent the public as a whole? It doesn't. It's catering to special interests. Reducing the number of motor vehicle lanes will create more city-initiated congestion, not less. This is especially true if done on 11th and 12th Avenues on the east side and on 4th Avenue and Broadway downtown. More congestion adds engine idling, which in turn increases fuel consumption and emissions. As an example, the changes on Foster increase emissions by 1,180 hours per day. Over the next 20 years, car trips in the Portland area are expected to increase by 49%, regardless of how much mass transit service is added. Even in the Southwest Corridor with light rail, traffic congestion is expected to significantly increase with population growth. The city needs to make more room for cars, not less, by taking away motor vehicle travel lanes and/or converting them to other modes. A full and complete environmental impact statement is needed before any decision is made to reduce motor vehicle capacity. Moreover, you wouldn't plan a new development without the financial investors at the table. Motorists, who are the primary funding stakeholders for TSP projects, must have proportional motorist-specific representation on all transportation citizen committees. Without such representation, discrimination exists. Given the results of the TriMet survey, any project that would replace car lanes with bike lanes is ignoring the majority will of the people. Instead of taking away motor vehicle lanes on Broadway and 4th Avenue, a much better route for bikes would be 9th and Park Avenues. On the east side, an alternate route to 11th and 12th Avenue should be found. If the Central City Motion project moves forward, equity requires adult bicyclists must start paying license and or user fees to cover the cost of their privileged street space. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all. Next three.
Next three are Ted Buehler, Tim Davis, and Doug Klotz, and they'll be followed by Chris Matthew, Terry Treat, and Dane Fredericks.
You have names for the record, and you each have 2 minutes.
Yes, thank you. Ted Buehler, a volunteer with Bike Loud PDX. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman and Hugh Daly, for supporting the Central City in Motion project and bringing it to PBOT and having PBOT reach out to us and lots of other people and come up with a very good plan, I think. I'm a fan of bicycling. I like to ride my bicycle to all sorts of places, and I like to talk to other people about bicycling and hear why they like to bicycle and what impediments there are to them bicycling. I've been a person riding a bicycle for a long time. I'm also a plan of the City of Portland's 2030 Bicycle Master Plan, passed in this chamber in February 2010. This plan includes all sorts of things, like a map, which includes all of the downtown sections that are in the CCIM. It also has some very inspirational words. I want to read you a passage. This is Portland in the year 2030. Bicycling is now a fundamental pillar of Portland's fully integrated transportation system, with more than a quarter of all daily trips taken by bicycle in the city's world-renowned bikeway network. Residents and visitors know that they can easily find a low-stress, efficient, and comfortable facility to get from where they are to where they want to go. And that's the Portland that I've been pushing for in my 10 years of residency here. I'm a little sad because 8 years ago, there were roughly 6% of people choosing to bicycle to work. And now there's still only 6%. We're falling behind. Here on page whatever this is, it says by the year 2020, 15% of trips should be made by bicycle. And we're still at 6%. We're falling behind. We had funding for the downtown separated bikeway system in 2013, thanks to PBOT and you folks, and we haven't spent it yet. I encourage you folks to pass this, to engineer it, and to build it, and to get us caught up to where we should be, to enable more people to ride their bicycles downtown and to have fewer people driving their cars on the roadway. Thank you very much.
Hi, commissioners. My name is Doug Klotz. I support the Central City in Motion plan and urge its adoption. As Bike Loud notes, our bike mode share is stuck at 6% and transit share is falling. We need to have bold plans, and CCIM will be a good start towards achieving travel equity and achieving our climate action goals. But we need to get going. I biked to work in the Central East Side for 17 years and would welcome better bike and transit facilities there, rather than threading my way through loading docks and truck traffic, which was often the case, although I did ride on 7th Avenue in the bike lane there, which makes sense because 7th has a 10-foot wider right-of-way than 6th or 9th or 12th or any of the streets instead of Central East Side, except for King and Grand. So there's a reason 7th has a bike lane. It has more room. The other day, I rode downtown. I do a lot of shopping and other business downtown, and I found myself riding on Southwest 4th from Harrison down to Oak, which I often do because I do business at the 1900 building on Southwest 4th, and there's no bike facilities there. I find myself riding in the middle of a lane, which I can do, but I don't think a lot of people would want to bike there. So I would welcome a facility on 4th. I also ride on 5th and 6th, but we heard the reasons for that. And you know, I also shop downtown. I was riding to Powell's. From Powell's, I went over to Director Park, parked my bike, and walked to three different stores before I found this sweater. So, but it's all biking and walking. Along with Better with Bike Loud and Better Box, I hope for an early temporary implementation of these projects to get the pattern set while we get the permanent structures in place. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hi, City Council. This is Tim Davis, and I'm addicted to numbers, and I'll try to limit them. And I'll start with one. 40% of the central city is street space. That's the second highest percentage in the entire U.S. Even Salt Lake City has a lower percentage devoted to streets. And you can feel free to ask me why and how that works afterward.
But who's number one?
Austin, Texas.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
San Francisco is 25%. Central City Motion would transfer 1% to bikes and 1% to buses, leaving Portland with still way more room for cars than almost any other city in the U.S. And it's by far the least space-efficient form of transportation ever invented. And active transportation, including transit, gets much more efficient when more people travel this way. And the price tag for CCIM is less than 1/20th the cost of the I-5 Rose Quarter project. And its impacts are all positive, unlike the ridiculous freeway project. And CCIM needs to be finished quickly. 10 years plus for half of these projects is just way too long. And we need to create a couple of signature projects right away, such as 4th and Broadway, so that people can experience the joy of traveling safely downtown by bike. And this would have a dramatic impact on the interested but concerned, which is the overwhelming majority of the population. And that population is just stalled because they don't feel safe at all. And everything in CCIM follows numerous official transportation and other policies that have already been passed by City Council long ago. And even if all 18 projects are fully funded and built right away, they'll still collectively pale compared to what Vancouver already has, or Calgary, Edmonton, Montreal, Minneapolis, Manhattan, any number of other cities. We can't let Portland just collect dust while other cities embrace the 21st century. People expect Portland to be a bike-friendly, sustainable leader. And two words, climate change, full stop.
Thank you all. Next three, please.
Are Chris Matthew, Terry Treat, and Dane Fredericks. And they'll be followed by Rena Jimerson, Mike Bolliger, and Michael Christie.
And are we moving people out of overflow and into the chambers as seats open up? Or is anyone left? Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, greetings. Just name for the record, and you each have 2 minutes.
Hi, Chris Matthew, bike commuter representing Elephant's Delicatessen. We are concerned with the loss of parking lane and especially truck loading zone on Southeast 7th. Elephant's Deli has 25 years at 7th and Clay, 40,000 square feet between two buildings, over 200 employees just on Southeast 7th. We're heavily invested. We're on long-term leases. Offices and production space serve our operation all over Portland, 7 cafes and tons of catering. On the east side of 7th, we use about 100 feet of truck loading zone, and on the west side, we have the equivalent of about 150-foot zone as large vehicles are able to occupy the parking lane and only block the approach to our own small parking lot. We use every inch of this space.
Between the two sides of the street on a typical day, our delivery team uses a combination of street parking, loading zones, our small lot, and the critical parking lane in front of our lot to make over 100 trips from the central kitchen. In addition, in an average week, we are visited by commercial trucks around 100 times for product deliveries and services. Around 80% of those vehicles are too large to safely back up to our tiny loading dock without obstructing the sidewalk, bike lane, or more. So they typically use the parking lane in front of the approach to our lot or a commercial truck loading zone. Losing much of the parking lanes and loading zones would be devastating, and the results at businesses like ours and ours would be, one, commercial trucks using the center turning lane to unload, which is a safety issue due to the obstruction it creates to visibility at intersections. Two, vendors in a hurry may be tempted to block bike or traffic lanes while making their deliveries. And three, best case scenario, vendors would have to push palletized shipments from some distance, creating inefficiency and hazard on the sidewalk or even in the street. Beyond safety concerns, it's an enormous hardship to our operation and businesses like ours. If we move forward, we require solutions to mitigate the impact